Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, men. Appreciate that singing this morning. What a blessing. And we'll get started here in just a moment, but I do want to give you a couple of words of announcement about next Sunday. And we are labeling that as Membership Sunday. And my wife and daughters and Jared, our son, who's in Pensacola College, they are going to join the church next week, or at least that's what they tell me. I think they're shopping around this week to make sure there's not a better offer in town. I'd hate for me to be over at the Baptist church than be over at the Methodist, but we wanted to do this because I know that in the life of a church, oftentimes people are praying, thinking, looking, and God's been leading and dealing with people to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You say, who do you know? I don't know anybody in particular. I'm just saying that's typically the way that it is. And so I wanted to give you all this opportunity to come next Sunday. My wife and girls, they'll join, and Jared's going to be here with us as well. And they're going to join the church, and I wanted to just extend this opportunity and offer to you that if the Lord's been dealing with your heart to go ahead and join. Maybe you've been coming for a few months or been coming for years. There's people at the church we came from that came for years before they ever joined. But if forever you'd be able to say, well, we joined on the same Sunday that the Herdmans did. And so I want to invite you to do that. Of course, membership, most all of you know, it's requirements are being saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And then after that, being baptized by immersion after you got saved. And so we extend that opportunity to you and that offer. And then what we like to do here at Buffalo Ridge is we need you to have you agree with the church bylaws, the Constitution, because we want to know, we want you to know what you're getting into. And I tell everybody a Baptist church should be the most transparent place that you'd ever want to come. We don't trick you from that door to up here. We don't aren't something up here that we're not back there. You come in. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's the God Almighty. He's God the Son and the Son of God. We teach that at that door as you're coming in, and we also preach that from the pulpit up here. We are transparent, but we want you to know what it is. And so some of the deacons will be back in the lobby, maybe down here at the conclusion of the service. If you don't know one of them, then come and see me or Brother Daniel or Brother Bob, and we'll get you connected with one, and they'll all have access to the church bylaws. They're out in the lobby in the Welcome Center there, and we want you to take one of those, and there's a sheet in the back you can sign, say, yes, I agree with this. I line up with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we'd like for you to take that this week. And if you have any questions whatsoever, again, the deacons will be available, some of them out in the lobby. And we'd like to have you come and join next Sunday with us. And then in 46 years from now, I believe that's how long Preacher Lassie was the pastor here, in 46 years from now, I'll be 92. I'll be a bit old to be your pastor, but you'll be able to say, well, we joined the same time they did. And we invite you to do that. And then one other little announcement. If you say, but you've never been baptized, we're going to have Baptism Sunday the very next week. And maybe you need to get, well, you need to get baptized, and maybe you'd like to do that. And we trust that you'll be praying about that. That's the first step of obedience after a person gets saved. And on the 22nd, we'll be having a baptismal service, and we're praying for a wonderful day on that day. So just a few things coming up. So thank God for the opportunities. Would you turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33? Exodus 33, easy to find, second book in the Bible. Exodus 33, verse number 12. As you're finding your place there in Exodus 33, I heard a story about these three boys that left home. They had a good mama, and but they all did well in life. They all prospered, and they were wanting to see, they were all talking with each other, wanting to see what they could do to be a blessing to their mom. She was aged by this point, and they thought, well, we would do whatever we can. So the first one bought her a big old house there in her hometown, just bought her a huge big old mansion of a place, and thought, well, that'd be nice. And the other one thought, well, I'll buy her a very nice car. So I bought her a really expensive, high-end car, and thought, well, that would be nice that she can drive it around. And the third one thought, well, if those things are taken care of, I'll just come and find what I can do. And so he said she loves the Bible. And so, but her eyesight sometimes is not so good, and they'd even got a driver for the car that they'd gotten her. And he said sometimes it's not so good. So he bought this very expensive parrot, could quote the entire Bible. And I thought, well, that'd be a wonderful thing for her. You just sit around and talk and talk and talk to her. And they next time they got together, they were there in that big house, and she looked at all those boys, and she said, "Boys," said, "you just spoiled me." She said, "Listen, this house, number first of all, is way too big. You shouldn't have bought it like this." And she said, "That Rolls Royce and that driver," she said, "I don't even like it. It's just too much for me." She said, "Now, Jameson, you shouldn't have done that. I just don't like that." She said, but then she looked at the third and said, "Now, Carlton, that chicken you sent was delicious." That was a good thought. So be careful what you get when you get mom something, I guess. So Exodus 33, verse number 12, we're going to look at Moses. And Moses is getting ready to go and venture into a new area of his life here. And the tabernacle in the first part of the chapter is moved to the outside of the camp. This is just to give you context. This is right when Moses comes down off the mountain and the people are dancing, living woolly and wild there around. And so he throws the Ten Commandments down and the breaks, and God's going to get those back, write them again for them. But Moses is having some house cleaning time, and Moses is getting ready to go to a next level of his life. And I always like to apply the scriptures, and I think that those of us who are sitting here this morning, there's always something new for you. You say, "John, Brother John, you don't even know me yet." But if you're not dead, God still has a plan for us. And even after we're gone on, God can still use our memory and use us, use what we used to do for His glory. But if we're still breathing, then God has a plan for us. And we find Moses, after he has faced a lot of disappointments here, back in verse 19, 20 there of chapter 32, the previous one, he throws those stones down. Chapter 33, then he's going to move the tabernacle outside the camp. And verse number 8 and on, Moses is having a heart-to-heart with God. So that's where we find ourselves. We look at verse number 12, if you would, chapter 33, Exodus. "And now Moses is speaking to the Lord and said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." Moses continues on, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Have you ever been there when you said, "Lord, I know you're with me, now you're going to have to show me again you're with me"? Like in the New Testament, "I believe, Lord, help mine unbelief." And so sometimes we get that way. Say, "Lord, I know you're doing something. I just can't quite see what it is. But if you're really doing something, I need you to show me." Verse 14, "And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him," this is Moses back to the Lord, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." He said, "Lord, if you ain't going to go with me, then I don't want to go. Don't take us any further. If you're not going to be with me when we get there, then please don't take us. For wherein," verse 16, "shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also which thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight." And I love the next phrase, "I know thee by name." We'll stop right there and then get into the preaching. And I want to preach for a little while about this subject, out of the verse number 15, "Carry us not up hence." If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Have you ever told somebody when you was maybe in school, when you said, "Listen, if you ain't going to go, I'm not going to go. If you're going to go, I'll go." And that's sometimes the way we'll volley back and forth to figure out if any of us are going. "Well, we're all going to go." "Now, so-and-so can't go, and they can't. "Well, if you're not going, I'm not going." And here we have that Moses tells the Lord, said, "Lord, listen, if you're not going to go with us, I don't even want to go." I'm reminded of an old preacher that was there for a revival meeting at a church, and he said, he told the people he'd be back, and he was gone, and he was gone, he was gone, he was gone. Everybody was getting worried, the deacons and some of the song leaders and the ushers and all that. It was getting after the service time, and they were looking all over the church. And finally, a little boy had dispatched himself, and he went to a little pine thicket behind the church, and he went out there and he spied the preacher man out there, the old evangelist, and he was praying. He was praying, "Oh God, I don't want to go out there if you don't go. And Lord, I can't do it, but you can. And you're the powerful one. I'm not. Lord, you got to do this." And he got wind enough from the preacher that was praying out there that he was coming back. And so he came in and tugged on one of the coattails of one of those ushers, and he said, "Listen, the preacher's coming." He says, "Good." He says, "Even better than that, he said he's bringing that big one with him." Now listen, if the big one don't come with us, then we're wasting our time. And I say that with all reverence. And so the Lord is asked by Moses, he says, Lord, if thy presence go not with us, then carry us not up hence. And so if Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church doesn't have the presence of the Lord, we're just wasting everybody's time. And we're tying up a lot of money that could be used somewhere else. But if the presence of the Lord be in and what we're doing, well, I tell you, like Larry Brown would tell me, that big wheel get mixed up with that little wheel, and we'd really have a show for the glory of God. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And I ask you, dear Lord, to make it true at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, dear Lord. I believe I speak for the people, although I'm just barely their pastor. But I believe I speak for the people when we would say that if you're not going to go with us, then we don't want to go. Lord, if you're not going to lead us, if you're not going to be there when we get to where we're going, then we don't want to go. Or Lord, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. Please help us. I ask this morning, and then not only this morning, but from here on out, I pray, dear Lord, that we would have a willing, pliable, yielded spirit to you. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We find this very interesting passage here that in the last chapter, as already mentioned, Moses breaks the commandments, and later God's going to give them back again. And we find, though, here in this place that Moses gets down to business. And I believe that some of us would be down to business to say, Lord, we're getting ready to do some big things. Lord, if we're going to go this next step on this business, then I need to make sure you're with me. God, we're going to do this next thing in our house or this marriage. If you're standing at the marriage altar, you say, if Lord ain't going to be in this marriage, I don't want to be there. And I tell you one thing, some of you might have had that horrible experience. If the Lord's not in the center of that marriage, it's a disaster waiting to happen. It's an accident just waiting for a road to happen on. And we understand that as you're standing getting ready to marriage, you're standing getting ready to have children, you're standing getting ready to do anything, whatever it is that you do. And if the Lord's not going to go with you, then you ought to say, as Moses did, God, I don't want to go. How many of you understand there's a lot of problems that come in whatever you do? And if you don't have the Lord's leading, the Lord's guidance as a Christian, as a child of God, if you don't have that, then you'd be better off not to be in that situation. I think about this like one old country boy told his girlfriend. He said, honey, listen, he said, I'd rather be with you. And he's a big boy. I'd rather be with you than eat when I'm hungry. We ought to be as Christians, say, Lord, I'd rather be with you than eat when I'm hungry. I'd rather be with you than have the pleasures of this world. I'd rather be with you and have your presence with me than I would go enjoy the things that this world has to offer. I want you to see verse number 13. I see verse point, and I see the plea of the seeker. Look at verse 13. I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Boy, that's what ought to be the prayer in our hearts. Lord, I'm looking into today. I'm looking into this week. I'm looking into this next month. I'm looking into this year. I'm looking into whatever's going on in my life. Lord, I need you to show me the way. How many of you have made a mess out of a lot of things in your life? How many of you look back and say, boy, I wish I'd asked God first. I think about the Lord, or Moses telling the Lord. He says, Lord, please, asking him, show me thy way. Do you remember how it was when you were in high school and you saw somebody who had all goo-goo eyes over somebody else and they were all enthralled and in love with somebody who they don't even know anymore, but that's beside the point. You remember how in love they were, and they do anything they could to get the favor of that little girl to look over their way, notes and candies and cards and all these other things and all the things that would make them embarrassed if anybody knew, but they would do all that they could. And then they got to a place where they didn't even care anymore. They didn't mind if people knew that they were gushy in love and all of that. They were just wanting to get the favor of that someone. I wonder how we're trying to get the favor of the God Almighty in heaven. We've wanted to woo the favor of a loved one. The majority of the people in this room are married or have been married. You tried your best to get her to think you were better than you were. And she married you anyways, even though you aren't. Again, one lady said, I knew I married Mr. Wright. I just didn't know his first name was Always. We tried to get married. You tried to do all you could to get him or get her to look your way and then stay looking after they looked. We tried to get their favor. And I see Moses in this passage. He says, Lord, show me thy way. And I'm challenging each of you this morning. It's time, if your life has been on autopilot, if you've been just doing what comes natural, if you've been just doing, well, this is what everybody's supposed to do in my line of work, or this is what everybody's supposed to do. It doesn't matter what people do in your line of work. It matters what a child of God does in your line of work. And we ought to be those in our families, in our lives, in our marriages. We ought to be those that say, Lord, show me thy way, because his way is the one we're interested in. Listen, there's a lot of times things don't make sense. It doesn't make any sense that you're here giving up your Sunday morning. I trust you come back Sunday night. Hey, guess what? I'm going to be here Wednesday night. I'd like to invite you back for that one too. Everybody says, well, listen, we're glad you're here. What can we do for you? Come to church Wednesday night for me. That'd be a great blessing to me. But people think it's a waste of time for you to be here. The world thinks you're crazy. Now, some of us are, but that's beside the point. So if we're doing things what the world says we ought to do, then we're in bad trouble. We want his way. And so Moses says here, Lord, show me thy way. I see the plea of the person who's looking. I see the plea, the begging that he's giving God. Would you show me your way? I see the plea of the seeker, that God is the one that he's looking after. And then I see not only that, but look in verse number 16. I see here Moses gives back the plan of the believer, we'd say, but the plan of the person involved here. He says, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Here, that's a question. And he gives answer. Is it not in that thou goest with us? I hope that we understand what it's like when we're able to tell people that as we follow the Lord, we're following him. And we're separated unto him. We're satisfied. Everybody always says separation. Oh, you mean don't go to the bars. Yeah, that's a part of it. But you ought to do something else while you're not at the bars. Do something good instead of just not going there. Plan for the believer is to be separated. Moses' words, he says, separated unto God. He says, it's not it that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Moses didn't mind being that oddball. I told somebody in Sunday school or somewhere that my dad would tell us that you don't have to try to be weird as a Christian. You ever notice some people are weird before they come to Christ? Guess what they're going to be when after they get saved? They'll still be weird. You're saying you shouldn't talk about my husband that way. I didn't necessarily mean to talk about your husband. Please don't admit it to me, and I won't say it to you either. But we see that Dad said, oh, you don't have to try to be weird as a Christian. You just follow the book. Separate yourself unto Christ, and certain people will separate themselves from you. My dad got saved out of a sailor's life and did everything that sailors are typically known for doing. And when he got saved and got right with the Lord and he started living for God, it's amazing how friends just started leaving him. He didn't have to leave them. And Moses says here, he says, how will people know that we found grace in your sight? Is it not that we shall be separated unto thee and from all thy people that are upon the face of the earth? They basically, Moses is saying, listen, Lord, we're going to get to a place where you're enough. And we're going to be happy with it. And so I see the plan for the believer is just to be separated unto the Lord. Say, Lord, you're enough. Yes, I have all of my associations, and yes, I have all of my relationships with different people, but Lord, you're the most valuable, and you're the one. And the people in that area right there were going to know that they were God's people because God was with them. And I wonder sometimes what people think about our families, what they think about our marriages, what they think about our relationships. May it be so that when they see us, that they would know that there's something different about that person. And so we see the plan for the believer. The Bible says, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And as Moses says to God in this prayer time that he's having, he says, we're going to be with you and you are going to be enough. As Jesus told the people that day, he says, I am, referencing back to the Old Testament, I am. And somebody smart, in a smart aleck way, years later, recently, said, I am what? And this old boy that didn't know much about studying or anything else, he said, you just fill in the blank. He says, I am whatever you need. And that's about the truth. We see the plan for the believer that Moses says, we'll be separated unto you, God. We'll be yours. And we won't mind going into a gathering and be called one of those that go as a believer, gather together to preach and to teach and to sing. We don't mind if somebody says, why do you do all that? You say, well, because we love the Lord. I see the plea of the seeker. This Moses says, Lord, we've got to have you. I see the plan that he gives. And then I see verse number 17. It's getting in here in a wonderful place. Verse 17 down, I see the presence of the Almighty. And the Lord said unto Moses, Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And we're starting to see Moses, and Moses is going to ask to see God's glory here in just a little bit. He says, Lord, I'd like to see you. Moses told by God, you couldn't handle it. It'd be too much for you, but I'll let you get a little taste of it. And I see the presence of the Almighty, and we're starting to get in here in this last of this chapter. You'd see getting into some deep clover and some wonderful things because this intimacy of God and Moses. Moses saying, Lord, I'd just like to get a little glimpse of you. And God says, you couldn't handle it, boy. You couldn't handle it. But I'll do what I can to protect you, or I'll do what he can do anything, but I'll do something to protect you and let you see. You see this lovely scene in verse number 19. He says, verse number 19, I'll make my goodness pass before you. He says that he gets the attention there. Verse number 21, he says, there's a place for me. I've labeled that as the affection that God has said. Listen, Moses, there's a place up here you can come on. Verse number 22, and he gives the protection promise here, and he says, it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And then I see the compassion in verse number 23. He says, thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. It's amazing that we like to see famous people, don't we? My brother-in-law, Boone, was on an airplane. He and my sister and niece live in Alaska, and they were on an airplane years ago, and they saw, for some of you old-timers, Ernest Borgnine on McHale's Navy. And he's gone now, but he was flying back, and so he didn't want to bother him. But then this fella struck up a conversation with my brother-in-law, Randy, and so he struck up a conversation with him, later got a picture with him, and lo and behold, he would be out and about amongst the people there in their village or their town. And so he would often see them at different things for his company that my brother-in-law works for. Then he knew some folks as well. And so this movie star, this TV series star back in the day, and it's amazing what we'll do to meet somebody famous. Oh, I've stood in line long time, pastors' conferences, to get shake hands with some preacher that pastored a church of a couple thousand or maybe even bigger. I've gotten to take pictures with them and keep them as a memento. That's a wonderful thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as we keep it in order. I think that people that do wonderful things for the Lord, that's good. I've stood in line to meet this preacher and that preacher and the other. And you know where I'm going with this, but you know, we don't even have to stand in line. And I don't want you to tell me out loud, but I want us all to do a little soul searching. How long this week have we given just to seek the Lord? The God of glory, the Creator, the sun shining through these stained glass windows, the one that put that sun up there, lets it shine down. Oftentimes, we'll go for several days. Oh, we'll pray a little bit, Lord, thank you for the grub, and thank you for this. We'll pray a little bit here and there, but we won't truly seek Him. Like Moses says, Lord, we just want to know that you're going to be with us. And I see Moses gets the promise from the Almighty that he's going to be with him. He says, I'll be with you. Now, if you're married in here this morning and you have a faithful spouse and you said, number one, thank the Lord for it. But when that spouse tells you, I'll be there to get you. I worked at McDonald's for years when I started at 15, worked all the way through high school. And my dad is a wonderful man, but he's also kind of forgetful. So my dad would say, at 15, I couldn't drive legally. And so he couldn't drive in town. We could drive out farm. But so dad would be the one to pick me up. Or so I thought. You get off work, you expect to go home pretty soon. But my dad was notorious for talking to this person, that person, and maybe a half hour later, 40 minutes later, might as well worked a little bit. I made $3.35 an hour back in that day. I've raised my rate since then, just in case you're wondering. But you expect somebody to be there for you. And that spouse that God has given you, I trust that they are. But whether they fail us or forsake us when the Lord told Moses, said, Moses, I hear what you're asking. I'm going to give you that. Well, I tell you, you get a promise from a man that's a faithful man, that's a good thing. But you get a promise from an almighty faithful God, that's something totally different. So I see the plea that Moses gave out. Lord, if your presence isn't going to go with us, carry us not up hence. Don't even take us. And then I see the plan for the believer is just to be so close to the Lord that even if the world forsake you, you'll still be okay. Though none go with me, still I will follow. But then I see the beauty of the answer that God gives back and the presence of the Almighty. I don't know where you're at in your life this morning. Maybe you're here, you're not saved. It'd be odd in a room this size with people in the balcony up there that somebody's not, maybe you've been a member for a long time, but you're still wrestling with this. You're not sure you're saved. Can I just tell you that the Lord will answer the same thing every time He promises us. We'll seek Him, we'll find Him, we'll seek Him with all of our heart. He promises in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You might know the gospel inside and out, know it well enough to tell me how to get saved. But in your heart, you've still never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you the promise of the all presence of the Almighty is there for you? All you got to do is call on Christ. You've been messing around in life for a long time. Things have gone wrong again and again and again. It's not your outlook on life. It's your lack of a Savior. Maybe you're here, you're not saved. You need to be saved. Maybe you're here this morning, you are saved. But you've not gotten to that place where Moses got to in his life, where he says, Lord, if I could put it in today's vernacular, Lord, I don't care about all the stuff. I'd rather have you and no stuff than all stuff without you.
That's right. Amen.
If you haven't gotten to that place, I'm asking you to be like Moses, say, Lord, all I need to know is you're with me. I know you're with me. I'm saved. I got that. But Lord, I need you to know you're with me in my business as I make decisions tomorrow. I need to know you're with me as I make preparations for the future. I need to know you're with me. If you've not gotten to that place in your Christian life where you just said, Lord, if nobody else goes with me, I'm okay as long as you go with me. Can I tell you what the Lord would answer back? He tells us that we will seek Him and find Him when we seek for Him with all of our heart. It's a promise of God. You say, well, if I don't find God, you'll find Him. He promises. And I see that presence of the Almighty that's there. Moses is told by God, behold, there's a place by me. And I believe for you as a child of God this morning, there's a place by the Lord for you. And I don't need to over-spiritualize this, but I believe it's completely applicable. There's a place by the Lord for you tomorrow as you carve away a little spot. Maybe that holy ground that Moses in another place found, maybe that's out on that back screened-in porch of yours. Maybe that chair where you got a little table there beside of it. You can get that Bible and say, Lord, I just want to hear from you. Could it be there's a place for us, a place to get close to God? I know that with our world and all of its distractions, it's harder than it's ever been before just to shut it all down and get alone with the Lord. But as you, as a child of God, you and I are going to have to get back into the habit or start the habit or continue the habit of getting alone with the Lord and being separate unto Him and hear the voice of the Lord. Seek ye the Lord, Isaiah said, while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. So I don't know what your need is this morning. Maybe you're here and you're not sure you're saved. In just a moment, we'll bow our heads and there'll be somebody right in front of the pulpit and love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Maybe you're saved, you know that. But you've not taken that first step of obedience of being baptized after you got saved. We'd like to sign you up and get that done here in 2 weeks. You can make a public profession, you can make a public statement to everybody, I'm following Christ. Maybe you've got all those taken care of. You want to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come and say, next week I'm going to join with you all. I'm coming down. You'd like to present yourself this morning for membership. We'd love that. But maybe you've got all those things taken care of. You say, Brother Urban, I've been a member for decades. Are we seeking the Lord like Moses did on that day? Telling the Lord, Lord, as long as you're with me, I'm good. Or are we like most American Christians? We're running after everything that the world has to offer as hard as we can run. Oh yeah, we love Jesus too. My friend, that's not the Christian life God wanted us to live. Christ Jesus first. All those other things will be added unto us. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray together. Father, I do ask you to bless our time now this morning. The Lord Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us into whatever we're venturing into, Lord, we don't want to go. I pray that you would help each and every Christian in this room to make a holy commitment to you. Lord, I'm aiming for everyone. Make a holy commitment for you, to you, that we're going to be separate unto you. We're going to be seeking you. And then, dear Lord, I pray if there's one or several in this room that's unsaved, Lord, they'll find no peace in this world. They'll find no happiness. They'll find no true joy without Jesus Christ. There'll be a hole in them until they die and spend eternity without you. And then they'll know forever and ever their torment, how they should have been saved. Lord, they'll not find fulfillment on this earth, and I pray you'd show them that this morning. If there's one or several that's unsaved this morning, I trust that you'd come. Put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And then for, if I could say it this way, housekeeping items. My family and I, they'll join the church next week, make it official. You might as well say, you know, I've been thinking about that. God's been showing me I should do that for a long time. I might as well just come on with the Herdmans. You'd like to come present yourself for that this morning. I ask you to do that. Father, now whatever the need is in each and every heart, I pray that they would yield to you. Lord, I pray that you let them know we're not fooling around. Lord, we want to seek you, serve you, and just long for you until you come get us. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Would you stand together, our piano instruments?